Does the Wisconsin retirement system need to be changed to ensure the future solvency of it? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Under a new bill in the state legislature, the retirement age for most new state employees would be raised from 55 to 60. In addition, pension payments would be based on a worker's top five earning years instead of the top three. We are going to talk about this legislation and whether it's needed or not. And welcome your questions, welcome your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We invited the authors of the proposal, State Senator Dewey Strobel and State Representative Tyler August, to join us today, but they were unavailable. And then we noticed that one of our Week in Review regulars had written a piece about this, so we invited Owen Robinson to join us, and happy he can. Owen Robinson is a columnist with the West Bend Daily News, a blogger at bootsandsabers.com. And his recent piece, Tweaking the WRS, was published on Tuesday. And we have posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Joy.
And thank you for joining us while you are on your spring break in Minnesota. Why did you go to Minnesota for spring break?
Well, I had a little bit of work here early in the week and able to enjoy the end of the week here. So it was great to spend a little time at the Mall of America and to go over to the new Viking Stadium and witness their empty trophy room.
Oh, good one. I'm just, it's a rainy, cool day in Wisconsin. We'll get to that later. Let's talk about this this proposal to raise the retirement age from 55 to 60 for new state employees, not existing state employees. Public safety workers would be able to retire at 52 instead of 50. Why do you think we need this tweak?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge that the WRS is a fantastic retirement system for government employees and has been for a long time. It's also a system that's been really well managed, and it's been a bipartisan effort through both by both Republicans and Democrats for decades now, who have properly managed this system. So it's one of the very few fully funded retirement pension funds for public employees in the nation. And I think as we look at states like Illinois and California, whose pension systems are just crushing them right now and crushing their budgets, it's something we have to be very thankful for, I think, for the prudent management of this by both parties for many, many years now. And I think it's a great benefit to our public employees. But part of prudent management is the management portion of that phrase, and that means making small changes now to avoid having to make very large changes down the road. And that's all this is. This is saying, as we all know, people are living longer. It's not unusual to see people living well into their 80s or 90s now when some of these retirement ages were set back in the 60, 70 years ago. People weren't living as long. So it's not inconceivable now for people to retire from a government job at 55 and live till 90, where they're retired far longer than they were ever employed. And this is just a way to make sure that we're continuing to adjust the WRS system to reflect the reality of people's lifespans and people's work histories and how they go. So, and as you said, it's a very small change. I honestly didn't think this would be controversial when it came out, because we are talking about new employees as well. Yeah. So all of the existing people in government who are beneficiaries of the Wisconsin retirement system, not a single one of them will be affected by this. This is something that if you're a new employee considering employment with state government or some of the local governments that would sign on to the WRS, it's something you could consider, whether this is something that would make you want to take the job or not. But again, just small changes now, avoid big changes later. And I think it's just a prudent measure to go ahead and make sure it's continuing to reflect the realistic lifespans of today's people.
You know, I guess I should disclose that as an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, I am covered by the Wisconsin retirement system. So I am a current employee.
Doesn't this affect would not you affect... at
all. What's that?
It doesn't affect you at all.
No, right. But, you know, last session, Representative Strobel did... State Senator Dewey Strobel did have this affecting current employees, and that didn't go anywhere.
Right. I don't think it even got a hearing last time it came up. But this time I think you've scaled it back to where it's only new employees, making sure that it has less of an impact on anybody currently employed.
Yeah. Rick Badger, who heads the union that represents the public service workers across the state, said the changes would hurt Wisconsin's ability to attract people to the public sector. How big effect do you think that this would have on new hires?
Well, I think anybody who's considering employment, you always consider all of the benefits. You consider the pay, the work style, the retirement package, the health benefits, I mean, everything else included. I think it's safe to say that being a state employee continues to be a pretty nice deal. There's great health care benefits, great other benefits. A lot of times it's not the best pay that you can get in the private sector. That's always been the trade-off. But great job security. Government has proven to be recession-proof, unlike many other industries, which, if you like that safety blanket, government's a great place to work. So it's one facet considered among dozens and dozens of people consider whether to take a job with government. But frankly, I don't know that as a state employer that I'm really focused on wanting to recruit people who are very concerned about the date for early retirement. If people are already looking on the way to get out of the job early, I'm not sure those are the recruits I really want anyway. So I don't think it'll have that much of an impact. But if it does, again, this is not something that can't be tweaked. If we find that we are unable to recruit employees for state government because we've raised the early retirement age by 5 years, and it sounds almost farcical to even say that sentence, but if that proves to be a problem and we see that in the next 3, 4, 5 years, we can change it back.
In addition, pension payments would be based on an individual's top 5 earning years instead of their top 3, as it is now. Senator Strobel says 5 years is a better representation of a worker's pay. How do you feel about that tweak?
Well, this is to address something that's been going on for a long time, and it's not true with everyone, but what you see with a lot of, I won't say a lot, because I don't think it's a widespread problem. What you see with some government workers over the years, particularly in administrative positions, is they'll work through the system. As they near retirement, their friends and their supporters, they'll get a nice big promotion to some great job for the last couple years of their tenure right before retirement that boosts their retirement pay, but really isn't reflective of the totality of where they served during the year, during their career. So I think it's a measure to, I think Strobel's right. It gives a better picture, taking a 5-year snapshot, again, at the high end of their career with their high earning years, which would be their last several years, but gives a more complete picture of what they were earning during their career to make sure their retirement payments reflect where they were, as opposed to, just a nice sweetheart deal at the end of their career. So, I don't think it's critical. I don't think it's a massive problem, but it's, again, a little tweak to around the edges to make sure we're keeping the WRS solvent for as long as possible.
John on Facebook says, 55, I should have gone to work for the state. I'm 61 and retirement's not even on my radar. Maybe 70, more likely 75. Is this in a way chipping away at what some consider too generous public employee benefits?
Well, I think here, remember, we're only talking about the early retirement age. We're not talking about the full retirement age. So with early retirement, what it means, if you're a government employee, you can take early retirement in some circumstances if you've served a certain number of years. But when you take early retirement, you're not receiving the full pension benefit either. So, the calculations are different based on terms of service and all. I think you start vesting at about 5 years But if you retire after 25 years of service and at age 55, you're getting 90% of your benefits, roughly. So it's a great deal. And I think, though, what John is reflecting is exactly what, many of the taxpayers who do fund this do see is still a very, very generous benefit that, many of the taxpayers who are funding these retirement plans and the salaries of the state employees to begin with, many of those of us in the private sector, like John said, we'd love to retire at 55, but it's just not in our economic picture and will never be for many of us. So I think it is something to try and reflect that. I think that this is part of a much larger conversation with how we fund government employees, where many years ago it used to be a trade-off, a pretty severe trade-off where you take lower
pay. I
got to
jump in, Owen, and we will pick up on this point after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about a new Republican proposal in the state legislature that would raise the retirement age for new state employees from 55 to 60. In addition, pension payments would be based on a worker's top five earning years instead of the top three. We are talking with a guest who says that this is a needed tweak to the Wisconsin retirement system. And not a big deal. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We did invite the authors of the proposal, State Senator Dewey Strobel and State Representative Tyler August, to join us. They were unavailable today, but Owen Robinson, who is one of our Weekend Review regulars, a columnist with the West Bend Daily News, and a blogger at bootsandsabers.com, wrote a recent piece tweaking the WRS, and that was published this week. And I know you're getting to a point on how we compensate state employees, Owen, but we have a caller, I think, that will kind of get us there as well. So let me go to Dave in Lancaster. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to point out I was working for the county for 34 years. Instead of getting pay increases, we took better health insurance and retirement benefits. We paid those into that. The public didn't pay that into it. We were public workers, but we were working for the county and for the state. And we paid into those. And this is just more Republicans pitting private workers against public workers. And we paid into that. We've earned that money. We've been entitled to that money. And it just upsets me.
Yeah. So public employees traded better wages for better benefits, and public employees are paying into this system. It's not just taxpayer money, Owen?
Well, I think Dave is entirely right. That is a trade-off you made for years, and this change has absolutely no effect on Dave and that bargain. He made a bargain to trade pay increases for better retirement, and he's benefiting from that bargain. Again, we're talking about a change for new workers who may make a different bargain. They may say, it's still a great benefit, but, I need a little bit more pay to take this job. And that's a negotiation that continues to happen. So I don't think that changes that basic the bargain at all. And I think going back to John's point from his Facebook comment earlier, the benefits packages for government employees is still very, very generous. And I think even with this change, it remains very, very generous, particularly in contrast to those in the private sector. And I don't think that we can separate those two. So when you talk about pitting private and public workers, we're all workers in Wisconsin trying to get by, trying to make a living, trying to fund our retirement and pay for our kids' education and all these different things that we're trying to do. But when you have but the private sector employees are the ones who are largely funding their government, and all of us are funding our government. So it is something that we need to make sure there's not so much of an imbalance there where we are setting a class of people above another.
We have, it's kind of a sarcastic comment, but I want your response anyway. James on Facebook says, in the eyes of the GOP, retirement is only for rich people. Everyone else must work until they die.
Well, I think we all need to work till we have enough money to think that we're comfortable to retire. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what to say about that. I think we all want to retire, and we'd all love to retire at 55. It's just not available to everyone.
Tim in Sun Prairie is with us. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd just like to add in the conversation.
Oh, boy, we lost our caller. So I think what he was going to say is that public employees, again, are paying in 12% or something of their paycheck for their retirement. Did you want to quibble with that, Owen?
No, absolutely they are. But the taxpayers are also paying a hefty portion of that. And ultimately, the way that's set up is if the WRIS wasn't well-funded and well-managed for years and years, the taxpayers are on the hook to pay those retirement benefits at the end of the day. So it's still a liability to the taxpayers. Fortunately, it's been well-managed and is well-funded, but it's also well-funded because the taxpayers are kicking in a portion of that every year as well.
Yeah. The taxpayers are getting work done, though, that needs to be done for the state of Wisconsin, right?
Absolutely. That's something that I think taxpayers are willing to pay for, to have a well-functioning, well-funded state government. And nobody wants to punish public workers or wants them to have a bad retirement. We want them to have an equitable retirement for what everybody can afford.
Gary in Iron River emailed, "I support the change. In addition, the plan should only base pension amounts off of their base wages salary and should not include overtime. This is consistent with private plans." Do you know much about this?
I don't know a ton about how that calculation is done. I do think that we want retirement benefits to be reflective of a worker's employment, just like in the private sector or anywhere else. I mean, we want it to be reflective of their career. And I think that's part of what the reason for the change from 3 to 5 years is intended to cover. So I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Mike in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I have to disagree with, is it Owen?
Yes.
100%. Yep. I mean, let's face it, Owen, we keep beating up on the guys on the bottom, and you keep bringing up the private sector, and you keep bringing up the taxpayers. Let's forget about the private sector. Let's forget about the taxpayers and pay people a decent, honest wage for what they should be getting, for what they're doing. And here's your problem. We just keep beating up on the worker. I'm 71 years old. I worked for 40 years in a union shop. We had 30 and out. We made good wages. It was a good time in American history. Right now, we just keep beating everybody up that's got to do a job. The poor guy on the bottom is just getting pounded on day after day. You take the private sector, cuts wages, and now you want to take the wages and benefits away from the public sector.
Yeah, how about decent wages and benefits for everyone, Owen?
I think we'd all like decent wages and benefits, and I don't think there are many people who would argue that we're not paying most of our state workers decent wages and benefits. It's still a great package and great benefits, but we can't just forget about the private sector and private employees and everyone else who are, you know, what we've had over the past however many years, decades now, and going back to the era when our caller was working, it was a different time in America when we were much more contained within the U.S. I mean, right now we are very much subject to globalization, to forces of automation, to global economic changes that the private sector is subject to. The public sector is shielded from to some degree. You can't outsource, for instance, a DNR job. But in the private sector, particularly in Wisconsin, with its heavy manufacturing background, is very, very subject to globalization forces. And we have to make sure that what we're doing in our state government and in our public sector is reflective of the state as a whole. We can't just wall off a class of citizens and say, you guys are we're going to do everything we can to shield you from what's going on in the rest of the world. Sorry, that's not how it works, because the rest of us are out here in it.
Yeah. As we wrap up, we touched on this earlier, but Wisconsin is one of the only fully funded public pension systems in the nation. So if it's not broke, why does it need fixing?
Well, again, it's not broke because we make small changes along the way to make sure it doesn't break. But we need to continue to adjust it to reflect the realities of the world, to make sure that 10 years from now, we're not Illinois with a poorly funded system desperately trying to fix it with our state budget.
On a related matter, I did want to ask you, hope I'm not surprising you with this, the Joint Finance Committee this week did not take too kindly to Governor Scott Walker's self-insurance plan for state workers. He wants the state to take on the risk for medical claims instead of paying premiums to HMOs, a move that he says would result in $60 million in savings. But some wonder if that really is going to happen. Do you think that this self-insurance is something the state of Wisconsin should consider, or is it a bad idea?
Overall, yes, I think they should. I think it's something that, you know, it's all about who takes the risk, whether you're going to pay an insurance company to take that risk or whether the state takes the risk ourselves. But when you're a large organization, and there's a lot of Wisconsin organizations like Briggs & Stratton and Kohler and SC Johnson and cities of Milwaukee and Madison and lots of large organizations, both public and private, who already self-insure, this isn't uncharted territory. I think that it's smart for lawmakers to take a good hard look to make sure it's done in a way that's managed properly and that it's a risk that's acceptable. But overall, I think the state is big enough and smart enough to manage its own insurance.
Thank you, Owen, for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your spring break.
Thank you, Joy. You have a great week.
Owen Robinson is a columnist with the West Bend Daily News. He's one of our regular Week in Review regulars. He wrote a recent piece for bootsandsabers.com, tweaking the WRS, the Wisconsin Retirement System, in support of this plan that would, among other things, raise the retirement age for new state employees from 55 to 60. It would also change the way pension payments would be calculated, basing it on a worker's top five earning years instead of the current top three. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Now we will get another perspective on this bill that would change the Wisconsin retirement system and the way benefits are calculated and when a state employee could retire. And we will continue welcoming your views and your questions on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. As I mentioned, the author of the proposal, actually both authors, State Senator Dewey Strobel and State Representative Tyler August, were unable to join us today to talk about this plan. But we did invite, for a different perspective, Corey Mason, a Democratic state representative from Racine and a member of the Joint Survey Committee on Retirement Systems, to join us. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So I guess let's get your initial thought to this proposal one at a time. How do you feel about raising the retirement age from 55 to 60 for new state employees? It would be raising it from 50 to 52 for public safety workers.
Right. I mean, and I think it's, well, first of all, I should back up. It's not just state employees. It's public employees, right? So you're talking about firefighters and police officers, but you're also talking about, you know, correctional officers and teachers that are in this mix of folks. It's not just folks that work for the university or the state directly. But the big thing about where the bill is, and I oppose both the provisions of the bill, is it's just unnecessary. Your previous guest made it sound as though, you know, if we don't make these kind of changes now, soon we'll be like Illinois' pension system, which by all accounts is in a disastrous state. And that's just not the case. I mean, by WRS and the employee trust fund's own estimates, our pension system is in really good shape. And Owen certainly acknowledged that several times. But just to get specific about it, it's a fully funded plan. It's projected to be completely solvent for at least the next 44 years. So the idea that we need to make these changes to keep the fund solvent, and or if we don't, we'll be on the road of becoming like Illinois, is just not true. So these changes simply aren't necessary. And then the negative effects, though, are not only what it does for recruiting and retaining new public employees, but that early retirement, I mean, you know, you're talking about firefighters who are going to be running into burning buildings and how long you want them to be doing that into their 50s and be able to do that job safely, or how long you want somebody to be a corrections officer before they can take an early retirement, which, as your previous guest did mention, is a reduced benefit compared to if they waited until they were fully vested in their 60s. So it's not necessary to keep the fund solvent, and it does continue to erode benefits and will make people's retirement less secure. Granted, you know, decades into the future, but it's workers in this state have been working harder and falling further behind. And why we would not adopt another policy that creates less economic security for people when they retire is beyond me, especially if it's not at all necessary to preserve the financial integrity of the fund.
Yeah. Owen Robinson, and for that matter, the authors of this proposal, are saying that we need to make these small changes now to ensure the future solvency of the retirement system. Maybe not in a couple of years, but if we don't make small changes now, we'll have to make really big changes sometime down the road.
Yeah, and that's just not the case. It is not what this bill does, and it's not at all why the bill would be necessary. If we were like Illinois, and didn't have our pension funded, I think they're at like 50 cents on the dollar or something atrocious in terms of where their pension is. These are tough decisions that we might have to look at. But according to the employee trust funds, we are fully vested for at least the next 44 years. There is no tweaks to management that we need to make sure that the Wisconsin retirement system is fully funded and fully vested. We've done a great job of doing that. And I would remind listeners, you know, after Act 10, public employees were all required to pay more and get less as a multiplier out of the pension system. So public employees have already taken a big change after Act 10 in terms of the value of the Wisconsin retirement system. There's no need to make this change for solvency. But if you think about what it means to say to a correctional officer or a firefighter that, look, you know, you're going to have to stay into your 50s for a couple more years. You no longer have the option of retiring early for reduced benefits. Just it doesn't make any financial sense. It's not necessary for the fund. And there's even an argument to be made that if you require public safety workers like that to stay longer than they might feel that they're physically able to do the job, you might see the taxpayers having to pick up costs on unemployment or on workers' compensation claims and other disability claims if you ask people to stay longer than they're physically able to do some of those physically challenging jobs.
How much of a turnoff do you think this is going to be for new public employees, people who may want to enter the public sector?
Yeah, I think for public safety workers and correctional officers are probably the ones that are going to think about it the most. And the reality is, talking to a 22-year-old about fresh out of college about their retirement isn't always the first thing that they're thinking about. But it is, as we've seen, an exodus in several fields of public employment, be it teachers or correctional officers and other places. We're having a harder time recruiting people into these professions. And, you know, the trade-off has always been, look, if you're a public employee, you will make less than you would in the private sector, but you'll have better benefits. And if we can continue to erode these things, it's going to make it harder to have a well-trained and well-recruited public workforce.
I'm going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will return and continue our discussion with Democratic State Representative Corey Mason from Racine. He is a member of the Joint Survey Committee for Retirement Systems. We're talking with him about this proposed change to the Wisconsin retirement system. A couple of Republican lawmakers are proposing to raise the retirement age for public employees from 55 to 60 and change the way pension payments are based. What do you think of this idea? 1-800-642-1234. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Corey Mason, a Democratic State Representative from Racine, about a a new bill that would raise the retirement age for most new public employees from 55 to 62. Yeah, pension payments would also be based on a worker's top five earning years instead of the top three. Sponsors of this bill say that it is needed to ensure the future solvency of the system, but Representative Mason disagrees. He says the Wisconsin retirement system is fully funded for more than the next 40 years, and these are tweaks that do not need to be made. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Well, looky here, we have another state lawmaker on the line. State Senator Bob Wirch joins us. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, and good morning to Corey.
Good morning, Bob.
I agree with your arguments, and I was talking to a policeman yesterday about this bill, and he said people don't realize that you have to be young and physically fit for the job. We get in, he's saying we get into altercations with people. Sometimes we have to chase teenagers, and it's not even counting the stress level. So he was very much against this bill. The other point I want to make, and I served with Corey on joint finance, and we saw when the Walker administration came in, they found ways of getting rid of people who were hired by Jim Doyle. That happens with every administration. So I think that's another argument for being able to retire early. It's not a lifetime job. When you change administrations, believe me, they find ways of getting rid of the opposition party and getting their friends in there, too. So for those reasons, I oppose the bill, and I think Corey makes some good arguments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Wirch. A reaction, Representative Mason.
I'm sure you'll be stunned to hear that I agree with Senator Wirch's comments. But, I mean, the point is worth saying again, whether it's firefighters or correctional officers or police officers, these are physically demanding jobs. And, you know, it's not that, you know, let about 10% of employees take this early retirement reduced benefit option. So they will get less of a retirement benefit if they retire early. But giving them the option to do that, if they don't feel like they're physically able to do that job to protect themselves and protect the public they serve, we should really allow this option to remain.
We have Wendy who emails. Number one, public employees must work 30 years for the state before, or the local government, before they qualify to retire early at 55. And number two, the reason the Wisconsin retirement system is solvent is that the payments to retirees go up and down with the stock market. That keeps it balanced. These tweaks are not needed, and in this polarized environment will only generate distrust and are unwise.
So, yeah, good points made by Wendy. I mean, it is a hybrid system that we have in the Wisconsin retirement system. So the people who get that may see their payments go up and down based on how the market's doing. Now, over the course of decades, the fund has returned more than 7% a year. But when they had the economic downturn, annuitants did see a reduction in pay. So the annuitants share the risk with the taxpayers. It's not that the taxpayers have to fund the exact same defined benefit dollar to dollar. So it's an excellently run system. Again, this argument that the authors are making is that we need to make these tweaks now for the financial viability of the fund is just, don't take my word for it. It's Employee Trust Fund's own analysis that says we're fully funded and in a great place for at least the next 44 years. And so if that's the case, there's not a need to do this. But what it does do is it asks people who are literally risking their lives at times to keep us safe to stay on the job longer than they might feel that they're physically able to do that. And it's going to reduce the retirement benefits of people who put in years of service. Granted, not of current public employees because the bill is prospective, but why on earth, if it's not fiscally necessary, we'd want to take a ding at future retirees' retirement benefits and make it harder for them to have economic security is beyond me. This isn't a bill that's needed. It's a bill that chips away at public employees yet again.
Craig and Gordon is with us. Hello, Craig.
Good morning.
Good morning. One of the questions I had, if the system is insolvent, and I do not believe that it is, wouldn't it be easier to just ask state employees to increase the level of their contributions on a monthly basis if the fund does become or get close to insolvency?
Those are some tough choices that other states talk about and look at. Now, the fund is more solvent, and if you remember after Act 10, exactly what Republicans required of public employees is to put more money into the fund and to reduce their benefit at the same time, even though it wasn't necessary for that to occur. So if you don't want to take my word for it, I would encourage people to look at the Employee Trust Fund's website. It's got tons of actuarial studies that go through the viability and the fiscal health of the fund. But it is an issue where, whether it's the previous guest who supports the bill or myself, we're both acknowledging that this is one of the best run pension systems in this country is the Wisconsin retirement system. And so we're very fortunate to have had that good stewardship over the fund for a long time. And if the people who run it are telling us that it's not in the sort of dire state that other states are in, it's not fiscally necessary to do this. All we're really doing is making it harder for police and firefighters that are trying to protect us on whether or not they get to retire early, needlessly so.
John emailed, if I have to wait to 65, then state or public employees have to wait as well. This came up in our first half hour, state employees, public employees have very generous benefits, including this retirement system, and that private employees who are helping to fund the salaries of the public employees don't have nearly as good of benefits.
Yeah, two really good points there. So first, if you retire early, if you take that option, you get a reduced benefit than if you waited until you were fully vested at 65. So the fund accounts financially for that difference if people decide to go out at a younger age. So fiscally, that's built into the model that we have now. But again, I mean, so for people who run into burning buildings or run after criminals as police officers to keep us safe, or our prison guards or correctional officers that are, dealing with inmates that have real issues to contend with, those jobs are different than a lot of private sector jobs that are out there. And so I think there is a difference there, and I think we should acknowledge that. And if we really value the work that our correctional officers and police and firefighters do, we should maintain this option to keep them safe and to keep us all safe.
Let's go to, I was trying to take a call and I couldn't. Jerry in Lake Mills. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. As long as we're discussing solvency, we need to examine the board that is managing these funds. Several of the members are making in the range of $300,000 a year in salary and have repeatedly taken millions of dollars in bonuses. One year, not that long ago, when we got nothing, and we have gotten very little in the last couple of years, they took $8 million. And there's supposedly a clause in the contract that says if the fund doesn't do as expected, they are not allowed to take bonuses. But they themselves voted to rescind or set aside that clause, and they take it anyway.
I'm jumping in, Jerry, because we're short on time, and do you know about whether those managing the fund are taking bonuses they shouldn't be taking, Representative Mason?
That I do know that we do have people who are well compensated to manage the fund, and that we need to do that to make it competitive with other private and other big public sector funds that are out there. But the specifics on who got a bonus when and whether or not that was appropriate, I just don't know enough about that to comment.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. We have another Jerry in West Dallas now. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. I've been contributing to the fund since I went into public service about 35 years ago. And all I wanted to say was your current guest is more truthful than your first guest. When this fund was set up, by law, it had to be funded by employee contributions and employer contributions. And if anyone thinks that it's close to insolvency or in danger, Governor Walker, when he first started his Act 10 push, pointed to that, and then a Pew study, among others, came out and said, no, it is 99.7% funded and will remain so as long as the current rules where you have to continue to fund it.
Yeah, so, Jerry, because we're almost out of time, your final point?
Well, my final point is they're only trying to get this through to once again penalize the ordinary public employee, firefighters, and public safety notwithstanding. There are other dangers out there, working in the streets around traffic and being refuse collector and things
right.
like that. There's all sorts of hazards.
Thank you, Jerry. So, Representative Mason, he thinks this is just to hurt the public employee in general. What do you say?
Well, or even, you know, jeopardize the public that those employees protect. And, you know, his last point is a good one. We had a garbage collector who was killed this winter in a crash. I mean, this is sometimes dangerous work. You know, the public employees are out there serving the public, and they've agreed to take less in wages for decent benefits. And if there's no fiscal reason that we need to reduce these benefits to keep the fund solvent, the only reason to do it is to chip away at the public benefits that remain and put workers in a place where they are working harder but falling further and further behind. There's no need to pass this bill.
Very quick react to Governor Walker's proposal to switch to a self-insurance model for state workers' health care benefits. Got a lot of criticism this week from both sides of the aisle. What do you think of this plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a question that's worth posing. I don't know that we can rely on the numbers that the governor has provided. He says we'll save $60 million. Another study said it could cost taxpayers $40 million. And until I think Fiscal Bureau or somebody else comes in with sort of an unbiased opinion of what it'll actually cost taxpayers, I think there's good reason to be skeptical about the governor's proposal.
Well, so one last question, only 30 seconds. Racine Mayor John Dickert announced this week that he's planning on stepping down, and I understand you are planning on running for Racine Mayor. You don't want to stay in the legislature?
I love being a legislator. It's a great job, but I also love being close to the community, and I think there's an opportunity to serve in other ways as well, really close to the people and doing some of the things that we like to do on job creation and Lake Michigan and the Root River and really embracing our diversity locally. So I'm excited about the opportunity to pursue being Racine Mayor as well.
Thank you very much for being with us. Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine and a member of the Joint Survey Committee on Retirement Systems. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.